Lines in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
And we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, you better strap your helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seip.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Bison pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
The first to wish you a very happy Football Thursday. That's what it is. It's Thursday, and we take a look at Sunday's game between the Browns and the Jaguars. We take a look around the National Football League on Thursdays as well. But Steve Tasker is going to be aboard with us from CBS. He's the analyst who will be part of Sunday's call with Bill McAtee from CBS. And they will handle that game. Former Buffalo Bill. We go back about 100 years together. I covered him when he played for the Bills. And the insights that Steve provides, you're going to want to know about. He talks about both teams very thoroughly, or he knows about them. Let's put it this way. I think he'll talk about them very thoroughly. I'm very confident in that. And same with Peter King around the National Football League. Doesn't really need any introduction, does he? Got a game tonight, Jets and Broncos. Going to hear what Peter has to say about this Broncos team, about Tim Tebow, who's always a lightning rod topic, no matter what. What do you think of that guy? I mean, he's getting it done. This is the proverbial get it done with mirrors kind of quarterback for the Denver team, but it is getting done. Not sure how. We take a look at the history between the Browns and the Jaguars. Steve King, our resident historian, will be here for that. So we'll break it down, and not many years with this Jaguars team, but some interesting history between the clubs. We post a poll question each day on the Browns official Facebook page, and today's question is, which injury has had the biggest impact on the Browns this year? Eric Steinbach, Peyton Hillis, Reggie Hodges, or Mohamed Massaquah? And Mohamed Massaquah, by the way, on the good news side of things, and there hasn't been a lot of good news on the injury front for the Browns, but looks like he's working his way back into the lineup from that concussion. So that is good news there. So vote on that. Tell us why when you pick your player and give us a reason. It's always nice to share those comments on the air. And you ask me questions via the Browns official Facebook page to Ask Vic. And a whole bunch of you do that, and we love it. This is the interactive part of the show, or one of the interactive pieces of the show, and my favorite. Jake asks, if Mohamed Massaquah is healthy for Sunday, do you see that having an impact at all? I do, Jake, I do. I think it will give you take a receiver away from the lineup, okay? You lose the capacity, the ability to attack teams in certain ways. You're missing something, and it's not the same when you have one less guy who's supposed to be your main guy, by the way, in the lineup. Put him out there, and when you spread things out or you do things formation-wise, it gives you additional options. It puts additional pressure on the opponent from a coverage standpoint. So it will change dramatically how the Jaguars are going to cover the passing downs for the Browns. And you could say, well, hey, what do they have to worry about? The Browns have no success passing the ball and making big plays. The fact of the matter is, You put Mo Massaquah out there along with the other players, Greg Little and Josh Cribbs and Jordan Norwood. You will see a difference in some of the coverage combinations when you see the Browns go to a lot of go to that spread stuff. I don't know a lot, but when they do it, Rick, what does this team need to do to win Sunday? First and foremost, not let Maurice Jones-Drew kill him on the ground. He's going to get his yards. He's going to be productive because that's what he does. He just can't trample this team. This can't turn into a game where the Jaguars own it on the ground and do to the Browns something similar to what the Texans did to the Browns. And as much as I don't envision that happening, as much as I think the Browns defense is better than that, they're going to have to be better than that. Phil Taylor is going to have to play one of the best games he played to date, and he had a good one last week. That was an improved game over his previous two. Ataba Rubin's going to have top game. Jabal Sheard, the whole linebacking court. Everybody's going to have to step up, and step up even more. You talk about Usama Young at safety. Step up even more, because without a T.J. Ward in there to help support it run support from safety, you're missing something. You're missing a lot, actually. All right, we'll give you those poll question results, which are brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube, at the end of the show that we talked about. And we're going to have a conversation coming up in a couple of minutes with Steve Tasker, analyst for CBS Sports, former NFL special teams demon for the Buffalo Bills, if you remember him, number 89 for the Bills. Great analyst. So we'll talk with him in a couple of minutes about the game. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game.
Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has thousands of vehicles on sale now. For only $179 a month, you can drive off a new Ranger, Escape, or Fusion. That's right, only $179 a month on three of Liberty's best sellers. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Looking for more than a song on your birthday? How about a whole concert? Get a free ticket to the Cleveland House of Blues during your birthday month when you join the First Merit Birthday Club. Be one of the first 15,000, and you'll get a $25 voucher toward dinner, too. Just visit firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. So log on and rock on with the First Merit Birthday Club. First Merit Bank. You first. Must be a First Merit customer with online banking to join. Full terms apply. See firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. Member FDIC.
Triple pleated pants? Check. Orange paisley corduroys? Check. Parachute pants with a 28-inch waist? Oh, check.
It's the Haggar Trade In, Trade Up Give Back event this Friday and Saturday only at JCPenney. Come trade in any pants from your past and get a brand new pair of Haggar pants for just $24.99. $24.99 for Haggar pants. That's a huge savings in exchange for pants you probably need to replace anyway.
Polyester disco pants with a light up fly. Ooh, ooh, check.
Every pair donated goes to the Purple Heart Service Foundation to help raise money to support veterans and their families. So not only will you get huge savings in quality Haggar pants for just $24.99, you'll also support those who have served our country.
Pink plaid golf pants. I am so keeping these.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Don't miss your one chance to save big on Haggar pants this Friday and Saturday only at the Haggar Trade In, Trade Up Give Back event, exclusively at JCPenney.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
Brought to you at Brook Park. Treat it like a four-way stop. Traffic signal's not working there. Clear an accident, Route 8 at the Turnpike eastbound. Route 91 northbound north of 90, you've got an accident there. We've got slowdowns on 40 eastbound between Broadway and Warrensville Center. Warrensville Center to 77 on the westbound side. 40 westbound back in West 130th to 71. And the Interbelt southbound slow, Dead Man's Curve to 77. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR Traffic.
I love it when we bring Motown to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dino, our producer, doing a great job as always. Yep. And we welcome you back, and we tell you that this segment is driven by Liberty Ford. Each week, we talk with the network analyst who will be covering the Browns game, and this week it is Steve Tasker from CBS who will have the Browns-Jaguars call. And first of all, Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you, Vic.
And it's great to talk with you, and we go way back to your days with the Bills, and you've been doing this analyst thing for CBS for a while, and I know you've been assigned to your share of Browns games during the time you've been with CBS, but this is your first look at them in person this season, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I haven't done them yet. Of course, I've seen all their games on the TV broadcast, that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's first time in person.
All right, so let's start with that. They're 3-6, and certainly a lot of questions about what they've got going or not going for themselves. What are some of the things that jump out at you that maybe tell you the story about this 3-6 season?
Well, I mean, they just play a little bit too inconsistently offensively. I think Colt's still trying to figure out this new offense. They got a new coaching staff, and this kind of stuff takes time. The injuries to Hillis and Hardesty have not helped them at all, trying to overcome that stuff. And then you get a thing like a bobbled field goal in late last week's game, and you're 3-6 instead of 4-5 or even better if those guys stay healthy. So a lot of things conspire, as they always do when you have a rough season, to make it look worse than it really is.
And you would, look at every bit of football through the prism of a special teams ace that you were, and one of the all-time greatest in the history of the game. And I imagine, what do you do when you see something like that, when you see a play like happen that decided that Rams game? Do you cringe a little bit, and then what are your technical thoughts as you look at it?
Well, the snap was bad, no question. But actually, I thought Maynard got it down pretty good, the hold was still kind of on time. The laces were wrong, but it was a chip shot field goal, and there's no question. I mean, it got in Dawson's head, and he couldn't follow through. His plant foot was all wrong, and he hooked it over the top. And never had a chance. That's too bad, too, because the holder did a fantastic job getting it down.
What's the psyche when something like that happens, Steve? What can happen to a team that now maybe starts to feel that when you've got an opportunity to win a game, and you're struggling as it is against some very good teams like they did against Houston and San Francisco and so on, but when you have an opportunity like that and then something unforeseen and really unthinkable happens?
Well, you got to remember, you got to stay in the moment. You can't worry about the big picture. You have to stay right where you're at, and what's gone is done, and what's coming up, you got to make sure it rolls your way. That's really the bottom line. There's no, you can't go back and change the cards. You just got to go forward, and you got to do what you can to learn from it and understand what could have made you better in those situations, and make sure you've got that on your side the next time. And that's basically it. You can't let, the 3-6 start you've got, or this 3-6 first half that you have, define who you are. You got to go on from there.
And for a lot of people, of course, who want to see more excitement from offense, and who could blame them? I mean, that's what this is about. That's what you want to pay to see. It has been frustrating, certainly, to watch the Browns play. The Seattle game was a field goal fest. This one, a field goal fest last week. And maybe the likelihood or the thought that Jacksonville, another team that is challenged offensively with scoring, that it could be a similar type thing. But as a guy who again was part of some highly successful teams, some AFC championship teams that really depended heavily on special teams, there were some games where it wasn't Jim Kelly lighting it up with for the Bills, lighting it up with Andre Reed and James Lofton and so forth. It was a lot of there were some of those games that just came down to Steve Christie or Scott Norwood or whatever making field goals, because that was how you played it. I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world if you can win games that way.
Well, no, it's not. And you got to know that there are a lot of teams in the league that don't win many games at all, but they have a lot of games against teams who lose them. So it's much more common for teams to lose games in this league than it is for teams to win them. I mean, like, the Cleveland Browns lost that game last week. The Rams didn't win it. I mean, the Browns lost it, if you look at it that way. And that's kind of the mentality you have to have. And if you can play solid football, mistake-free football, more often than not, the other team will find a way to lose it for you. And the Browns have to stop being one of those teams. When you play the game close to the vest, when you don't turn it over, I mean, you got, you know, like Josh Cribbs coughed one up last week. You never see that, you know, that kind of thing. So you got to be a team that doesn't ever do that, or at least does it less than your opponent does it. You got to be a team that pounces on those footballs when the other team does it, rather than is late to the ball when you have a chance to save one of those. And, you know, it's a mentality and it's a belief at its basic core, but it also comes from every guy minding the details of his own position, not just knowing where to go and what to do, but knowing why you're supposed to go there and what you're supposed to do when you get there and how it fits into the big scheme. And when you know a wider range and a wider scope of your role in a bigger picture, it allows you to gamble once in a while when there's no risk on the other side. That's why you see great players like Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed. You see great quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. They know they can roll the dice in certain situations where if the worst thing that could happen would be an incomplete pass or a failed third down attempt. It's not a touchdown going the other way. That's where the depth of knowledge in your own offense and your own defense and your roles in it is at its best, is when you have that depth of knowledge, you know that you just stay away from the enormous mistake all the time.
That's such a great point. Steve Tasker joining us, former NFL great, CBS analyst. He'll be working with Bill McAtee covering Sunday's game between the Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars for CBS. So when we look at the Jaguars now, and you've studied them, rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert, who seems to be taking a lot of pressure, in fact, surprisingly so, for a guy, I guess it's 21 sacks he's had so far in the seven starts or eight games he's played total, for a guy who has an outstanding runner working with him, with Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, and mojo is the thing that makes that offense go, there's no question. And the Browns are going to have to do a much better job in the run game defense than they have lately. Or, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew is going to run wild. You know, nobody throws the ball against Cleveland too much because, you surrendered 568 yards since October 30th, you know. I mean, that's a bad sign in a three-game losing streak. And unless they can get that fixed, it's going to continue because Jacksonville will lean on Maurice Jones-Drew as much as they possibly can.
And what do you see from looking at Gabbert and who has not much in the way of receiving talent? I mean, the most recognizable pass catcher that they have, Mercedes Lewis, is not having the kind of season that anyone expected of him. He's been struggling, and consequently the quarterback's been struggling. I mean, at some point, even though, as you say, Maurice Jones-Drew is the man, and that'll they'll ride him win or lose, I guess, but they're going to ask the rookie quarterback to make some plays, and he's got to have some people to help him make those plays.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Jason Hill and Mike Thomas haven't been getting it done. Mercedes Lewis is a load now, and they also have Zach Potter as a second tight end as well. But Blaine Gabbert, you know, he's a big guy. He's 6'5". You know, he's up like 230. He's one of those guys you're seeing in the league now. Strong arm, throws it pretty accurately. He has trouble deciding where to throw it and where he's not supposed to throw it at times. And sometimes in the NFL, the biggest adjustment for these young quarterbacks is knowing that you can throw the football into a window knowing it's going to close pretty quick, and you got to throw it before it's open, and it'll probably be closed after you let it go. So it's a real narrow and small time frame when you have to let the ball loose, and some guys never get to the point where they can pull the trigger. And I think that's where Blaine Gabbert is right now. He rarely throws for over 200 yards, and that leaves them in the same situation as the Browns. You know, it's hard to score points when you can't throw the football effectively.
Steve, when you look at their defense, it really seems like Paul Posluszny, the middle linebacker they picked up, has been making quite a difference for them in the middle.
Yeah, he's been playing really well. And they like their linebacking core. Puzlesny, along with Clint Sessions, who came over from Indianapolis. Daryl Smith on the other side. They run that 4-3 defense, and they only really have, on their depth chart, they only have five guys at linebacker listed. But they got a ton of defensive linemen. They run those guys in and out of there. Aaron Campman's been in and out of the lineup with an injury all year. But they do have some good guys down inside. But the linebackers make it go. And Puzlesny is at home at middle linebacker in a 4-3 defense, and that's where he wants to stay. He's really solidified that team. He's got over 100 tackles already in the season, so everything's working exactly like it's supposed to. Those big guys down inside, Terrence Knight and then Tyson Alualu, keep the offensive lineman off Puzlesny, and he runs to the football. And those two guys on the outside are doing a really good job staying athletic in the passing game and also coming up on the screens and draws and run games. So, yeah, I think they love their linebacking core. Their defense has been the strong part of their team, obviously, because of their offensive struggles. But, they're really happy with Paul Puzlesny and when they acquired him from Buffalo.
Steve, tremendous analysis and information, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, that is Steve Tasker from CBS, former NFL great. He'll be paired with Bill McAtee on the call for Sunday's game between the Browns and Jaguars. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Beat the Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has a large selection of pre-owned vehicles on sale now. Visit LibertyFord.com to view hundreds of pre-owned vehicles with special internet pricing, all makes and models, rates as low as 1.9%, and guaranteed financing. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound bucket at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a jar of live bees. Your genius friend decided to bring me to the Yellow Jackets game for good luck. But in his rush to get on the road, he forgot to tighten my lid. And when you hit a bump, oh mama, my lid pops off. And with hysterical flailing comes hysterical swerving. You go off the road and into the pond. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, your new price might sting a little. So get Allstate. You could get accident forgiveness and your rates won't go up when you meet mayhem, like me.
An accident can make your rates go up, but with Allstate accident forgiveness, they won't go up. An accident forgiveness starts the day you sign up. Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate.
Feature is optional, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Safe driving bonus won't apply after an accident. In California, you could still lose the 20% good driver discount. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
You're a Chevrolet driver, and that means a lot to us because we share our name with the amazing vehicle you drive. Chevrolet Certified Service. Service found only at your Chevrolet dealer, the home of technicians as advanced as the vehicle you drive. And you can get our expert service at a price that may surprise you. For a limited time, you can get Durastop ceramic brake pads installed for only $74.95 or less per axle after mail-in rebate debit card. That's $25 off the everyday value price. Here, it's not just service, it's Chevrolet Certified Service.
See your participating Northeast Ohio Chevy dealer today. Turning or replacing rotors, all other services and tax extra. Excludes Corvette and other select vehicles. Retail customers only. See participating Northeast Ohio Chevy dealers for eligible vehicles and details. Rebate form must be postmarked by 12/31/11. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for debit card delivery. Offer ends 11/30/11.
Hi, Gang Riz here. Yes, Gillingham Ford is the home of the real deal with new cars, but did you also know they have an incredible selection of certified pre-owned as well? Oh, you ask what's certified pre-owned? How about this? Those vehicles go through a 169-point inspection by their Ford technicians, free vehicle history report, and most importantly, with a factory-backed six-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty coverage. In fact, with one of the best pre-owned inventories in the area, Gillingham Ford has the perfect vehicle for you. Whether it's that new 2012 Focus or the certified pre-owned 2010 Focus, Gillingham Ford has everything you need. Don't believe me? Stop in and see for yourself. 8383 Brook Park Road in Parma between Ridge and Tiedemann off I-480. Check out the area's best used and certified pre-owned websites, lots of photos, and much more at BobGillinghamFord.com. BobGillinghamFord.com. Home of the real deal. It's Bob Gillingham Ford.
Hi, this is Mike Holmgren. Join the Browns in supporting the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign at Cleveland Browns Stadium on Sunday, November 20th. For more information on how you can help, visit SalvationArmyCleveland.org.
And we thank you for choosing to spend this portion of your Thursday with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And this Around the League segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Time to take a look around the NFL, and helping us to do that is Peter King from Sports Illustrated. Peter, welcome to the show.
Vic, as always, it's great to be on with the master of the National Football League.
That's very nice. Well, Peter, tonight will be, I don't know if it's a masterpiece, but it'll be an interesting game, to say the least, Jets and Broncos. And I guess the first storyline, the obvious storyline, is Tim Tebow. Where do you come down on the idea of this guy and how he's managing to have success when everything tells you that he shouldn't be as a quarterback?
Well, Vic, I'll just tell you where I think that is. You know, as any person who follows the game should come down on Tim Tebow, it's basically this. He was handed the job when the Denver Broncos were 1-4 in their bye week. And when he got handed the job, John Fox and Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator, basically said, okay, we're going to give Tim Tebow a chance to run the regular offense with a few little nips and tucks that Kyle Orton was running.
Right.
They tried it against Miami and pulled the game out of their rear ends at the very end of the game, even though Tebow did not play well. They tried it against Detroit. He threw 39 passes, and he was a sitting duck. He got killed. He got sacked. He got clobbered. And so John Fox and Mike McCoy did what any good football coaches would do. They said, you know, we don't want to tailor our team, or we don't want to tailor our players to an offense. What we want to do is we want to tailor our offense to the players that we have. And so what they did was they said, what we're going to do is make this offense Tim Tebow friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically ran what I call the Denver over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And, you know, I talked to Fox this week, and one of the things he said is, look, all I want to do as a football coach is try to win games with the players that I have. Does John Fox love playing this way? I don't think so.
Right.
Does Mike McCoy love calling a game with eight passes? I don't think so. But if you look at the way they are right now, Vic, you're the New York Jets. You've got to travel across the country 1,700 miles on a short week, and you have to prepare for a brand-new offense that you are not used to preparing for.
Right.
And, you know, that's why this game tonight, in my opinion, is a very, very interesting game. It's a game where you have a master of defense preparing to play an offensive scheme that nobody has played in the NFL, in 40 or 50 years.
Right.
And so I just think it's going to be tremendously entertaining, even if only to watch it as a chess match.
How do we look at the New York Jets after their game, first of all, against the Patriots, and that sense that they were really put in their place about as emphatically as they could be? And it looked like Rex Ryan, who sometimes even in defeat doesn't seem to carry himself as anything other than the guy who's always winning, but that wasn't the case after that game.
You know, after a while, Rick, you have to look at quarterback of this team, Mark Sanchez, and you have to say, really, more than anything else, that for Mark Sanchez to win in the NFL long term, in my opinion, he's got to be a little bit more accurate. And, you know, again, I don't think it's impossible to win long term if you complete 56, 57%. But in this day and age in the NFL, it becomes very difficult to win if you're not completing, you know, 60%, you know, and not moving the chains, particularly when you have a pedestrian running game.
Hmm.
What worries me about the Jets tonight, and the more I talk about it, the more I say, well, why did I pick the New York Jets? Because I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just trust their defense to snuff out Tebow better than other defenses the last 2 weeks have. Because, I mean, the Jets, not even averaging 4 yards a carry, and their best running back, Ladainian Tomlinson, stayed home when the Jets went to Denver. So I think this is going to be a difficult game for the Jets, but I think somehow, some way, Ryan and Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, figure out a way to hold the Denver offense down.
When we look at the rest of the AFC West, that division that the Broncos are certainly trying to make some noise in and obviously are in the hunt for it, but I look at the Oakland Raiders, Peter, and it seems like they've each week are riding their ship more and more with Carson Palmer, and the thought that Darren McFadden, once he's back healthy, they look like just a very formidable football team that's going to continue to improve down the last part of the season.
You know, it's a bad division, and right now, I probably would have said 2 weeks ago or even a week ago at this time, I still like San Diego to win. And I might have said 2 weeks ago I like Kansas City to win, but I say this week I like Oakland to win. I mean, the ironic part of this is, imagine if Denver wins impressively tonight. Imagine if Oakland goes to Minnesota and they lay an egg.
Right.
Okay, the Raiders lay an egg, which I don't think is going to happen. But imagine if those things happen. I mean, is it possible that 4 weeks in a row, a sane person could look at a division and like a different team in each of those 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. If Denver stomps the Jets, I would fall in love with the Broncos. You know? I don't care if they can't throw, you know.
Right.
It's a tempting team, and it's a fun team, especially with Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil getting after the quarterback. I mean, that's been fun to watch. But I think the reason why Oakland is better than any of us thought right now is because we saw what happened when Carson Palmer, you know, who obviously is feeling good now and feeling in sync with the offense, can, you know, he still can throw the ball downfield and throw it well. And so that's my whole thing about this team right now. I think that it's the best overall team in this division right now, but wait 10 minutes, that might change.
Peter King from Sports Illustrated joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Peter, are Lovie Smith's Chicago Bears getting enough Lovie love?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Vic. A team wins four in a row, and you tend to forget all their flaws. But probably their best offensive lineman this week went down. And I think, you know, and they lost him for the year. And Chris Williams. And I keep thinking that at some point their offensive line is going to either get Jay Cutler hurt
or something bad is going to happen. I don't know. Is it going to lose them a game down the stretch? I just don't know. But the one thing I do know about this team is that their defense is going to keep them in every game. That's the one thing that you can trust is going to happen with this team. And I talked to Urlacher this week, and one of the things that he talked about was that the really good thing that the coaching staff did this year for this team is they wouldn't accept failure early. And instead of basically making excuses for all the guys, they started replacing people. They did it with Chris Harris, a guy who was a borderline Pro Bowl safety a year ago. And they did it with a lot of different players with playing time and everything. And I think that what Lovie Smith has done this year is he's made everybody on that team accountable. And I think the players on that team have really gained a lot of respect for Lovie by doing that.
In that same division, the NFC North, have the Lions gone back down to earth? I mean, are we seeing now more of the team that kind of has been what the Lions are, as opposed to the one that was getting all the talk of surprise team and so forth?
Vic, I think the problem with the Lions is that they've totally lost their running game, and everybody out there knows it. They have not been able to run the ball well. And because they haven't been able to do so, they've had to rely on Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford last week threw 4 interceptions against the Bears. It was his worst game by far of the year. And I think the Lions have been exposed. They've lost 3 out of 4. They have not played well consistently on offense. And that's been for a while, too. And, you know, it's funny. I look at their offense right now, and I go back to the day I was at training camp this year, either late July or maybe August 1st, when Mikel LeShour, running back they picked from Illinois in the second round, when he was lost for the year with an Achilles injury. And I remember Jim Schwartz basically putting on the stiff upper lip and saying, hey, we'll be okay. But now the job at best has concussion problems. And they're down to their 3rd and 4th and 5th option in the running game. That's really been a crippling blow for the Lions.
And when we look at the NFC and a team that's been exposed from long ago, the Philadelphia Eagles, we know defensively what their struggles have been, but now the question becomes, and this was inevitable, right, Peter, that Michael Vick's health would be just the ongoing narrative for this team, but it just seems to underscore the overall issue and problem of either depending on him and depending on all the investment they made in this offseason to be great, and it's not happening. What's the state of this team? What do you think the future is with Andy Reid?
You know, the Andy Reid question is going to hang over this team until Jeff Lurie says with certainty that he's going to be back next year. That may come during the year. It may come afterwards. I would be surprised if he didn't come back because of his track record of winning, I think it's 118 games, and, you know, coming into this year, I mean, basically averaging 10 wins a game, made the playoffs 9 of his 11 previous years. But anyway, I think one thing, you know, I was talking to a 12th president today, this morning, and one of the things that he said to me was, you know, the one thing that the lockout has done is it's created, we know the lockout has had a big factor. We just don't know what it is. I mean, why has San Francisco been so good? Why has Cincinnati been so good, even though they've changed quarterbacks and or coaches, offensive coordinators, things like that? I mean, and yet the Philadelphia Eagles, they've got the same head coach. Now, they made a change on defense, and they got better talent-wise. And I think one of the things that the Eagles have shown us this year is the importance of chemistry, the importance of guys coming in the offseason, buying into a program. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Juan Castillo, the new defensive coordinator, was telling me that he decided late in training camp when they really weren't playing well, weren't meshing, he decided that what he needed to do was to get everybody one day at a time every guy in his defense would stand up and introduce himself to the team and talk to him, because he said, we just didn't know each other.
Wow.
And I was starting to think about that, Vic, and it's interesting. The 49ers, they got a new coaching staff and a new coordinator, but they really didn't change the scheme, and all the players basically are the same.
Right.
So maybe a team like San Francisco, we shouldn't be looking at them with, hey, these guys don't know each other. Basically, the vast majority of that team didn't change, you know, with Jim Harbaugh in it. So anyway, it's an odd way to look at it, but I think the Eagles just haven't meshed. They aren't, you know, the proverbial all for one, one for all. A lot of these guys still really are getting to know who each other are.
Peter, great stuff as always. I truly appreciate your time.
Hey, my pleasure, Vic. Have a great week, huh?
Okay, you too. That is Peter King of Sports Illustrated. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit libertyford.com.
Waker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the Lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland starts here, every Sunday with the Browns. It starts with hard-nosed football. It's diehard loyalty, it's committing for the full 60. PNC is proud to be a sponsor of the Browns and a backer of every fan, like you, because you're part of the undeniable achievement that's happening right now in this great city. So whether it's a tailgate party or over 73,000 Browns fans, it all starts in Cleveland. PNC Bank, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association member, FDIC.
If you're a man over 40, you may feel like half the man you used to be. Are you noticing a little body fat? Are you feeling a little unmotivated? Be honest. Are you losing your sex drive? It's not your fault. After 40, your body's testosterone level may start to drop, but there is something you can do. Call for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. You can feel the youthful energy, the positive outlook, even the healthy sex drive you once had. An Ageless Male is all natural. Be the man you used to be. Call now to try Ageless Male risk-free. Just call 800-460-4814. That's 800-460-4814. With Ageless Male, you can raise testosterone naturally by 50%. Hurry, this special offer won't last. Just call 800-460-4814. That's 800-460-4814.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
Smokey Robinson for you on a Thursday, this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yours truly, Vic Carucci. Hope you're enjoying yourself. We've got much more coming up for you, but we want to remind Browns fans that single game tickets are still available. You purchase yours before it's too late. That includes the upcoming game between the Browns and Jaguars. That's this Sunday, November 20th, 1 p.m. at Cleveland Browns Stadium. For more information, you call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. And this history versus the Jaguars segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. It's Thursday, and that's time for our weekly historical perspective on the Browns series against their upcoming opponent. And this opponent is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And helping us to do that, as he always does, is our resident historian, Steve King. Steve, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Vic.
All right, we're going to talk about the Browns and Jaguars. Not a lot to talk about because the Jags have not been in the league that long, coming into existence in, 1995? The Browns returning in their current form in 1999, and that's when these teams first got together. And by then, the Jaguars had started to build something very strong with Tom Coughlin.
Absolutely. We were coming off those seasons when they had, you know, home field advantage throughout the playoffs and in the AFC, and really a strong team, one of the best teams in the league at the time. And here come the Browns back into existence in 99, and they kind of catch that full force. And some very trying times in those first couple years of the series, trying to catch up as an expansion team with this team that had just, you know, shot out of the gate so quickly the first 5 years that they were in business.
Now, one very unfortunate footnote from that first Browns-Jaguars game is the late Orlando Brown, offensive lineman for the Browns, gets hit in the eye with the official's flag, or the weighted portion of that flag, causing damage and really putting him in a very bad spot, understandably very upset about all that. And sadly, when you think about Zeus's career, there was more to it than that, but a lot of folks fixate on that because of the freaky nature of the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of where it started to go downhill. He, got a hit in the eye that day, and somebody should have signed Jeff Triplett to a contract, because to stand way out on the edge with a penalty flag and throw it so that you actually hit somebody in the eye is almost unfathomable, but it happened. Right. And again, tragically so, because yeah. Zeus was this character who was bigger than life.
Right.
Great stories, and the fact that his career, at least the Cleveland portion of it, ends like that is sad but almost fitting, because everything with Zeus was big and grand and way out there for everybody to see.
No doubt. 13 games total between these teams, so that not very much. And the Browns have not had great success. They won only four of those. But the second one was interesting. 2002, Browns winning 21-20. Why was that so special, Steve?
Well, a Hail Mary pass at the end of the game from Tim Couch to Quincy Morgan. And this is Couch and Kevin Johnson, and hooked up in 99 halfway through down at New Orleans to provide the Browns with their first win. And this was kind of, Hail Mary part two, as we say, for Tim Couch, throwing to Quincy Morgan to beat the Jaguars. And I think it was 21-20. And the interesting thing about that, Vic, is that's the season in 2002 that the Browns made the playoffs at 9-7. A bunch of teams finished 9-7. The Browns squeak in on tiebreakers. So everything that happens in that season, you micromanage it or microanalyze it because everything counted, weighed so heavily. And here's a game that they thought they were going to lose, and they end up winning. And when you stand at the end of the season and look back, that was one of the key games, snatching defeat from the hands of victory, so to speak.
The jaws of victory, yeah. Steve King, our resident historian, joining us here as we break down the history of the series between the brief one, between the Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I know there are different touchstones to this particular year in the Browns' history, but this one is pretty closely connected with the Jaguars, and the year, of course, being 1995, when the Jags came into existence. And again, such a dark year in Browns history, and we know for the obvious reasons, because that would be the year they were going to leave Cleveland for Baltimore. But walk through that. The first win that year was 23-15 at Cleveland. The Browns were projected by some, Sports Illustrated 95, to be a Super Bowl team, but that would have been after losing that 23-15 game at Cleveland to Jacksonville. That was their third loss in a row, and started to raise questions about their playoff validity.
Absolutely. Here was this expansion team that comes up to Cleveland right in October, first part of the season, and really, it was 23-15, Vic, but it very easily could have been 40-15. They really outplayed the Browns that day. And all of a sudden, you're wondering, forget about the fact that this team was predicted to go to the Super Bowl. You're
right.
Wondering if this team can even make the playoffs because it really exposed a lot of flaws. The Browns looked very slow that day. They looked very old, and as it turned out, that's kind of the way it played out. And, again, the explosion that happens in the middle of the season with the announcement adds to that. But the Browns, I don't think even with the announcement would have made the playoffs that year because they had, for whatever reason, had aged very much in the offseason. The players who had delivered for them in 94 were a step slower and just a step behind everybody in 95. And that game really spelled it out.
And the game that just leaves those horrible memories, because you said it was the midseason announcement that they're going to be leaving. So now the final game ever of the original Cleveland Browns, they get to take on Jacksonville. It's Christmas Eve, and it's 24-21, and just again at the stadium, just walk through that, and I know you had to live through it and endure it, and I know it's not an easy thing, but go through that for me.
Well, it's like a lot of the games that happened that year, the Browns had a chance to win at the end,
right?
And they didn't. Drive came up short. So, Vic, it's 1995. It's Christmas Eve. This great grand season that everyone thought the Browns might finally get to the Super Bowl ends far short of the Super Bowl. But, oh, by the way, the team is leaving. Again, it's Christmas Eve. Everybody's in a holiday mood except the fact that you're watching this thing deteriorate. Very sad. And, it's 16 years now removed from
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I think of that, I can feel the pain even now, and
right
that's it's not going to go away. It just was a very morbid, just disgusting time. And at that time, again, you didn't know that any of this was going to be reborn.
Sure,
that was the end of the Browns.
As far as you were concerned, that might be the last day you were ever going to see the
game
Browns.
Set and match. It was done. They were leaving, and Cleveland was going to be without a football team. This 99 brand new stadium. This was all to be determined yet.
And I just feel fortunate that we are getting ready to see another game as they come up against the same Jaguar team.
And can I mention it? Just you alluded to something. We're going through, the growing pains of getting this thing turned around. And I firmly believe that Pat Shurmur and Tom Heckert and Mike Holmgren are going to do that. But think back to 95, and if you didn't have a football team to root for, thank goodness for that. And we keep going back to things that happened in 95 on this series. And every time, maybe things aren't quite what you want them to be right now, but it's a whole lot better not having a football team.
Yeah, it reminds you of how much to appreciate what's here and now. He is Steve King, and you can check out his great work on Browns history on ClevelandBrowns.com. You'll see it on the video pieces. They're also posted on our great site. And you can hear him here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Also, take a stadium tour with Steve at Cleveland Browns Stadium. He'll give you some great history on the team there. If you're interested, call 440-824-3361 or email tours@clevelandbrowns.com. Steve, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
All right, much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has 5 locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Starting at just $69 installed, you can get custom computer-cut window tints for your vehicle. The window film is American-made with a lifetime warranty and is cut by a computer-driven plotter, giving you the best fit and finish in the industry. Summit Sound and Security, on Route 91 in Twinsburg and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
New tires from NTB, $10.
You heard right. With the purchase of one-year alignment policy and premium installation, any select Yokohama, Cooper, and Pirelli tires, $10.
Only at NTB, today through Monday, buy any select Yokohama, Cooper, or Pirelli tire.
Get the second tire for only $10.
There's no limit.
For every tire you buy, you get another tire for only $10.
Only at NTB.
Only today through Monday.
This is your one chance to buy select new Yokohama, Cooper, or Pirelli tires for only $10.
New tires for only $10.
The tire industry may talk about this sale for years to come.
But it's only today through Monday. Only at NTB.
For every select Yokohama, Cooper, or Pirelli tire you buy,
you get the second tire for only $10.
Today through Monday at all NTB tire stores.
$10 tires. Don't miss this sale.
We're here with Mark Munch Bishop, Cleveland radio legend and broadcasting Hall of Famer. Mark, can you describe the process you've been going through?
Very difficult, David. Very difficult. I mean, I'm from Cleveland. I'm from Seatown, 53rd and Ham Avenue, Lee Harvard. This is my home. This is tough.
When did you make your decision?
Dude, this morning.
Are you comfortable with your decision?
Absolutely. I have no qualms about it whatsoever. I know I'm doing the right thing.
Have you told anyone?
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to shout it out from the top of the Terminal Tower observation deck of this great city.
Munch, what is your decision?
I am not taking my talents to South Beach. I'm so happy because I'm taking my scrap to Southeast. Southeast Metals.
What do you have to say to other people that want a fair price for their scrap metal?
Don't go to South Beach. Take your scrap to Southeast Metals.
Visit WeScrapOhio.com or call Southeast Metals at 855-SCRAP-OH and stop in for a chance to win VIP passes to an ESPN Cleveland tailgate party.
These are my people, Southeast Metals. Check them out today. I made my decision. You make yours.
The Improv Comedy Club is proud to present from Mad TV comedian and actor Pablo Francisco. Come see Pablo Francisco this Thursday through Sunday at the Improv located right next to Shooters on the west bank of the Flats. Pablo Francisco, you know him as the movie preview guy.
Are you ready? One man, one decision, one desire.
Now come see him live and in person at the Improv Comedy Club. Call 696-IMPROV. That's 696-4677 for tickets to see the hilariously funny Pablo Francisco.
All right, not bad to get a little ELO on this Friday, Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Thank you for sticking around with me, Vic Carucci, and our poll question for you. The results of that, sponsored by Quaker Steak and Lube. The question posted on the Browns official Facebook page was, which injury has had the biggest impact on the Browns this year? The choices, Eric Steinbach, Peyton Hillis, Reggie Hodges, Mohamed Massaquah. Before I read how you voted, I would say my vote goes to Eric Steinbach. I think his absence, the size, the experience that he brought to that left guard position, as well as Jason Pinkston has tried as a rookie to fill those enormous shoes, it's been a struggle. To say the least, it's been very difficult. It's been for a younger guy. To break in on an offensive line as a rookie. And yeah, we've seen it done to a tremendous level with a Joe Thomas here. Obviously, his entire career spent in the Pro Bowl, but it's a difficult thing. You're number five for Joe, but you're number one even for a Joe Thomas. Had some moments, but he's an extraordinary talent. Not everybody is an extraordinary talent that you're lining up, and that wasn't the Browns' plan with Jason Pinkston. But Steinbach got hurt. That's how it went down. But this is how you voted. You voted, 69% of you said Peyton Hillis is the biggest loss or biggest impact injury. Joseph commented, Hillis isn't bad. He just doesn't fit Cleveland. We need someone that's fast. He fits Pittsburgh and Baltimore, more power offense than the Browns play. I might go along with that, Joseph, as far as the fit goes. Alan asks via Facebook, the Browns official Facebook page, to me, why can't we be more willing to change up the scheme if we are on such a losing path? Is this year just a lost cause now? Alan, I'd never say a year is a lost cause. Just barely past the halfway mark. But schematic changes, it's very hard to do that now, to change what you're doing, because it's changing and teaching, and you don't change and teach during the season. You execute what you have. Jim asks, do you think Greg Little will continue to make improvements and strides with the Browns? I do. He's a talented player. He just needs opportunity and snaps to become a better player. And I think he also, you know, is a guy who will find his fit as the offense evolves. And by that I mean strategically, when this gets to be, I think, more of a truer looking sort of West Coast team. I want to thank Steve Tasker and Peter King and Steve King and Kristen Ribelli and Pat McKenna and Jameer Howerton and Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.